Take your Bibles in hand and turn to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through verse 18. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authority, against the powers of this dark world, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything, to stand. Stand firm then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, the breastplate of righteousness in place, and your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to this, take up the shield of faith, which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayer and requests. With this in mind, keep alert and always keep praying for all the saints. As we have been progressing and looking in our study, and again, I remind you that this is taken from Louis Giglio's book, Don't Give the Enemy a Seat at Your Table. And especially some of the things that are in the message today are from his book and his study guide. So I give him credit and pass that along to you. But we look today at the path to victory. We've been dealing with a lot of the ifs and some of the other things and issues and struggles that we are facing, and dealing with the battle in our mind of taking captive thoughts, as we were looking at last week, and bringing all of them into submission to Christ. You know, the writer of Proverbs says in Proverbs 23:7, he says, "For as a man thinks in his heart, so is he." And we need to understand, particularly as it relates to the spiritual battle we face, the correlation between what we think and what we allow into our minds and the implications it has in our life, because these thoughts direct our actions. It is who we are. So in that regard, we've been building and working, okay, I used the illustration last week of the interstate and the toll road, okay? And the fact that for some of you, your minds are like an interstate, you allow anything to come in. When actually, it should be a toll road where everything stops and gets checked before it enters in. And that's what Paul told Timothy. He said, take captive every thought. What we think up here translates into how we believe down here and what we do. So in that context, he gives us today a path to victory of how to make this happen and how it's accomplished within our lives. Paul writes to the Ephesian church, and he tells them very simply, the battle that we face is not against people. These people over here, they're not your enemies. These people over here, they are not your enemies. The people that you face at work or in everything else that you do, they are not your enemies. In many cases, they represent hurting individuals who need Jesus greatly. And a lot of them represent believers who are attempting to follow Jesus but have an interstate highway in their mind that they let everything in. So how do we gain victory over this? Paul tells us the battle that we face is not against flesh and blood. It's not people, okay? It is Satan. It is the one who is trying to horn in at your table of fellowship with God and distract you. It is the principles, it is the mentalities, it is the rulers, the authorities, the powers of this dark world. It is spiritual forces of evil We look around our world today and there is all kinds of horrific evil taking place. And you don't have to cross an ocean or go to another continent. In some cases, it's in your neighborhood and you don't realize it. It's at your workplace. It's at the shopping centers you go to, the places that you visit. We see evil taking place all around us. You know, and we wonder what will happen. Well, I'll tell you what's going to happen. You read Revelation and you read the rapid, significant decline after God's people are taken out. That's what happens. When the restraining force of the church and believers are taken out of this world, evil will be rampant. There will be no restrictions. We think it's bad now. It's getting worse. And Paul tells us we need to stand our ground. And we need to stand up. So, how do we gain this victory? First of all, we need to look at our advantage. What has God done for you? Just stop and think about that. What has God done for me? In John chapter 19, verse 20, Jesus was on the cross and he said, "It is finished." With that, he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. Now, I believe that 90% of you have read that and you say Jesus died. That's part of it. Jesus did die on the cross. But that's not what "it is finished" is limited to. The war was won. The war. Not just the little skirmishes and the little battles, but the entire war. History was sealed. It is finished. This was not just the end of his life, but it was the end of the war. Death is defeated. The curse of sin is finished. And with that, we live. In 1 Corinthians 15, Paul says, "But thanks be to God, he gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." You need to understand, we have the victory. This is your advantage. Sin has no reign over you. It has no reign over any of us if by faith we put our trust in Christ. We have this victory. So, understanding that, what does this mean to me? How does this give me victory in my life? You need to understand that the battles that you are facing now, you are not fighting for victory. That has already been won. You don't have to refight the war because it is done, it is over, it is finished. And remember those words, "It is finished." The battle goes on, but the war has been won. And you need to understand this. You are not fighting, or let me rephrase this. You are fighting from a place of victory. And here is your strategic advantage. You have the high ground. You have the ability to look down. You have the ability with momentum behind you to win the battles that you face because the victory has already been won. The war is over. You have the high ground. When you're in battle, and any, you know, military strategist will tell you, you want to capture the high ground. You want to maintain it. It has been proven in war after war after war, in World War I, in number two, in Korea, in Vietnam, the battles were for the hilltops. Because from there, you have the strategic advantage. We have the victory already. We have the high ground. And this is your advantage. All right, secondly, if I have this advantage, the victory has been won for me, then what is going to be my focus? All right, this is very important and significant, and if you need to stop and wake up for a minute, do. Please do so, okay? What is your perception of the battle? You see, and Giglio writes this in the book, and it's very clear. He says, we often base the outcome of the battle on what we perceive to be our ability to fight what is in front of us. We often base the outcome of the battle on what we perceive is our ability to fight what is in front of us. Now, I'm going to give you a very simple example. 12 spies. Moses sent out 12 spies into the land. They were to go out, they were to search out the land, they were to check it out, they were to bring back some of the fruits of the land and all of these things. And the 12 spies went out. They did deviate from where they were told to go, and that got them in trouble. But they came back, and what was their report? In Numbers 13, verse 33, it said, we seemed like grasshoppers. In our eyes, and we looked the same to them. They'd already been defeated. Their perception was this. We looked small to the enemy, and they looked at us as small as well. You see, they believed the lies Satan was telling them. You're insignificant. You're not trained warriors. You're not capable of winning this battle. It's all the other crap that they've been learning that we've seen in our study so far. You're not good enough. You don't have the skills. You don't, I mean, all of these things. These are the lies the enemy wants to drag to the table. God had already promised them the victory. God said, look, go and seize the land. It is yours. I will be with you. Well, what more do you need? If God Almighty is with you, what more do you need? Well, guess what? There were three chairs over here at this table. The enemy had drug up his chair and he was spilling out all this stuff. He's saying, you can't do it. You're not able to. Your faith's not big enough. And Joshua and Caleb said, whoa, wait a minute. God has promised we can go forth. This land is ours. Let's go. Get up and go. Your perception of the battle will determine its outcome. What's your advantage? Go back. Let's go back. Repeat. My advantage is the high ground. The battle has been won. The victory has been secured. Hey, the war's over. My perception, my focus is not on the enemy, but on who goes with me. Second point here, My focus is to be unity with Jesus. In Romans 5, Paul writes, he says, "For if we have been united with him in a death like his," all right, let's stop for a second. If we have been united in death with Christ, the battle is finished. The war is over because death has been defeated. Then he says, we will certainly also be united with him in a resurrection like his. If the Father raised the Son from the dead to eternal life, that is the hope and the promise that we have. We have been united with Christ. To win the battle in our minds, we must be united with Christ. We identify with Christ in his death. We also need to identify with him in his resurrection, and we identify in his life. It's very simple. We've sung this song many times. I am his and he is mine. I am in Christ and Christ is in me. We are united with him. So, my perception, who's in the battle with me? I need to understand my advantage. The war is won. The victory is ours. These battles are the cleanup skirmishes that we face. Because I am with Christ. Third thing, we need to train our minds. I saw a thing on Facebook this week. And this was a 65-year-old man who had retired, went back through basic training again. I'm going, this guy's a year older than I am, and he's going back doing really stupid stuff. I mean, you know, it's bad enough when you do basic training in your late teens and 20s, okay? But to go back at 65 and do it again? But he wanted to prove to himself that he could do it. He had been in the military. He had gone through this. He had retired. But he wanted to be able to be sure he could do it again. And you know something? In our armed forces, there is that period of training. It's not indoctrination. It is the introduction into military life. But it is also the physical preparation for battle. You know something? A lot of times we go into battle today spiritually and we're not up to speed. We don't have the mental capacities to wage the battle and win the victory. We have to focus on godly thinking. You know, in Philippians, in that passage that Ryan read earlier, in chapter 4, he says, rejoice, you know, the Lord is near, do not be anxious for anything. But then in verse 8, he says, finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, what is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. We don't apply mental discipline into our lives and we fail. So he says, train your minds. Focus on godly thinking. You see, this is so important. There needs to be the toll road in your mind. You can't just let any of these random thoughts come in because they're the ones who are the lies and deceptions of the enemy. He says, stop them at the gate, check them out. If they pass snuff with the word of God, let them in. If they don't, Don't let them in. We have so much junk in. I mean, it's simple, you know, garbage in, garbage out. But if we stop the garbage at the toll gate, better things will come out. So how do we do this? Giglio, in his book, and I just simply copied these, gives seven things, one for each day of the week. Monday is simply this. My God knows my name. Isaiah 41:3. Tuesday, my God goes before me. Deuteronomy 31:8. Wednesday, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Philippians 4:13. Thursday, my present sufferings pale in comparison to the future glory that God has stored up for me in my life. Romans 8:18. Friday, no weapon formed me against me will prosper. Isaiah 54:17. Saturday, I am a child of God. Romans 8:16. And then Sunday, it says, the same power that raised Christ from the dead lives in me. Ephesians 1:19 and 20. Okay, hey, here's one thought for every day of the week. Dwell on that thought. Read that thought. Focus on it for every day of that week. And you know something? It will develop within you a spiritual discipline of thinking. And you know what it does? It replaces the lies and the deceptions that the enemy wants to put in there. I'm no good. You can't make it. Everybody's against me. All of these lies that the enemy wants to put into your life, these are countered by the truth of God's word. So to that end, focus on these seven things every week. If we train our minds, we will start living godlier lives. We will start to see the application of holiness within each of us. There will be that closer walk with Jesus. This is your focus. Then lastly, my outcome. All right? If I have the advantage of knowing it is finished, the war has been won, Christ is victorious, Satan is defeated, then my focus is now on how to fight the battle. My perception is that Jesus is with me. I am united with Christ. I can discipline my mind in my thinking. So what is this going to result with? What are going to be the results in how I live? First of all, we'll have a focused life. I mean, I don't have to wander. I don't have to wonder about God's will and God's direction because He's revealing that to me daily. I don't have to be wandering in the desert trying to figure out where I need to go because Christ is with me and He is going to, my focus is on Him. My thoughts are on Him. My life is in Him. Therefore, my life will be focused. The world is starting to get very, very scary. We have been sheltered here in the U.S. as to a lot of things that are happening in Europe. Daily, there is talk of a unified government, a one world government, and they are actively taking steps to direct it. If you missed the news this week in the Netherlands, they're shutting farmers and farms down because they want to direct and mandate what you eat, your caloric intake on a weekly basis, and all of these other things. The end is getting close. And what that means for us is time is short. Time is becoming more valuable to take the gospel to the ends of the earth. Because there is amassing just over the horizon that we cannot see, this horde of evil. This thing that we read of here, the rulers against the authorities, the powers of the dark world, spiritual forces of evil in heavenly realms, it's coming. And I tell you this not to scare you, but to show you the need of a focused life and getting the commission accomplished soon. If I do these things, my life will be focused. The other outcome is I will have a life of victory. I live a life of victory, not defeat. You know, if we start doing these things and focus these things, if you do these seven things every week and all of these things happen, guess what? You quit losing. That's nice, isn't it? I hate to lose. My wife will tell you that. I just don't like losing anything. I never experienced a participation trophy in my entire life, and I'm thankful. I can live a life of victory and not be defeated. I win the battles, not lose them. And I am confident because of Jesus. Third thing, I have a peaceful life. All right, this is your opportunity to... How many of you would like a peaceful life? Some of you aren't sure yet, okay? Now, I'm not saying a life where there is the cessation of hostilities, but the life where I am at peace with God. Well, we can have that in our relationship with Christ because the victory has been won. The war is over, and all I face is these little battles. I can be at peace with me. You know, for some of you, you are your own worst enemy. You beat yourselves up relentlessly. You believe the lies so often that you're not good enough, you're not pretty enough, you don't have the right appearance, you don't have all of these things that go on in your mind. If we focus on Christ, if we focus on these seven things weekly, we can be at peace with me. You can be at peace with yourself. You can be at rest because God looks at you with approval for who you are right now. And then finally, you can be at peace with others. You know, so often we forecast, we put on other people our own expectations. And you know something? We can be at peace with that they are who they are. And that's okay. They're not you. God doesn't look at them like you. God looks at them like they are. And we're different. And you know something? God's expectations for me is different than his expectations for you. And you know, we can be at peace with others because we're at peace with God and ourselves. This is the outcome. This is the win for us. Paul tells us to put on the armor of God. Do these things, apply these things to your life, because this is what God has given to you. And when he said, it is finished. The war is over. Death has been defeated. Sin's chains have been broken. And we're free. Now, you know something? The enemy knows this. Satan knows this. The battles that are taking place now are not the battle for the war, because it's already been won. This is to drag down as many with him as he can, to defeat as many believers as he can, because he knows if they're defeated, the gospel is going nowhere. If I can't show people that Jesus lives in me, what good am I? As a witness, as a testimony, as a light in the darkness. We can't. That's why it's so important we don't give him a seat at our table. We battle for the thoughts that enter our minds. We take them captive. We hold them accountable. I just want to challenge you. Try this for 7 days. See what difference it makes in your life. And I think you're going to be surprised. I think you're going to be happy. I think you're going to really enjoy winning a few of the battles. Okay? If we win one, we can win another. If we win another, we can go another. And we can keep going and keep going until Jesus comes. And that's what he wants us to do. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the application that we can apply it and put it into our lives. Thank you for your goodness, your grace, your blessings to us. Thank you. Thank you for these three words. It is finished. And I thank you that the war has been won. We are yours, and you are ours. And that we can have the life in Christ that is victorious. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.